Well, welcome to our Friday teaching in our Summer in the Psalm series. And this week we have done Psalm 118. I hope you've engaged with it, enjoyed reading it, praying into it, praying through it. And it's been a good one for me, just because there are things about the Jewish tradition that I've learned more and more every time I'm studying these. And as I've shared before in Monday's teaching and in Wednesday's, is that this Psalm 118 is a part of a thing called the Hallel. And the Hallel was read during, or recited or sung during three of the pilgrimages that the Jewish people, even to this day, still celebrate. And those would be Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's a moment for them to not forget God's goodness to them through all the different trials they've gone through. And during one of them, the Feast of the Tabernacle, like I said, they still do it today. They would actually sing this psalm as part of their processional. And it was a festive processional that went to the temple. When it came into Jerusalem, went to the temple. And it was brought, they were brought in there by the priests with their sacrifices. So verse 1 to 19 actually are those songs that were sung as they were going to the temple. And as they got to the temple, verses 20 to 27, you have them sung, that part is sung by the Levites who receive that processional into the temple. Like I said, they still do it today. And you can still see them carrying in the Feast of Tabernacles these palm branches along with other things they called four species. I'm not going to get into it right now, but there were four things they would carry, and one of them was a palm branch. And so there's always these connections. And so as you read 118, you will see the praise aspect of it, where they're singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever." And you can see that there's victory in it and thanksgiving. That at the end of it, you can see the thanksgiving. At the beginning of it, you see the thanksgiving. But one of the lines that are said at the end of the teaching on Monday, which was to verse 14, and in verse 21 on Wednesday, they finish with the same line, and it says, "You, God, you have become my salvation." The Lord is saving them. They saw God as saving them, being their salvation. And as you looked at it as well, you saw at the beginning of the passage in verses 2 to 4, I talked about the author said, let Israel, the house of Aaron, and the people that fear God say his love endures forever. So they repeated that for each one, for Israel, for the family of Aaron, the house of Aaron, and the people who fear God. And I said that that represented Israel as the servants, Aaron's house as the priesthood, and the people are represented there. And all through it, he talks about those three things. I want to read a quote to you from G. Campbell Morgan out of his commentary over the whole Bible. And this is what he says about Psalm 118. He said, "This is preeminently the triumph song of Christ. He, the ideal servant, he, the perfect priest, he, the leader of the people." How much all these words meant to him as he sang them on that night in the upper room. This would have been something that Jesus recited. It meant something to him personally because he saw what he was called to. So when he's with those disciples, he would hear that. And so even as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, as I talked about before, that triumphal procession, as people celebrated and cheered on Jesus as he rode in on the donkey, they were thinking about that song. It seems obvious because you'll see as I read this last stanza, there are things that were expressed, things that were done, that they knew somehow this was tied to the Messiah. Now, let me read the portion that we're doing today. That's 118, 22 to 29. Here's what it says. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You'll hear some things in there that some of you will be familiar with right away, because you can see them in the New Testament, that they're expressed particularly around that triumphal procession. But one of the first things you'll hear was the words, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus actually quoted those very words just after the processional, as he came in Jerusalem, and he spent time in the temple, and he was teaching. It's in Matthew 21. And he was teaching them around using parables, stories that Jesus would tell. This particular parable, I thought he was teaching in the temple, he told about a vineyard, the owner of that vineyard, the master, and some rebellious tenants that tended it. And Jesus was talking to the chief priests and the elders in the temple. In the story, the master over this vineyard leases out his property, this vineyard, to the tenants. And then he sent servants to collect his portion of the fruit, and they refused to give it. And so he sent his son to get the fruit, and the tenants killed his son. And Jesus asked the elders and the chief priests, what do you think the master should do? And their words were, he will miserably destroy those miserable men and will lease out the vineyard to other farmers who will give him the fruit in its season. And Jesus' response to them was, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus is expressing something that's taking place right now in that time, is that Jesus was the rejected stone. And the builders were those chief priests, elders, all those religious leaders. And what he's pronouncing is judgment on those religious leaders for failing to acknowledge the Messiah, Jesus himself. And Jesus is bold in that statement. But you see it later on that Peter reiterates it in Acts 4, where he says, this Jesus, and he was speaking to religious leaders again, he said, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. In Ephesians 2:20, Paul says to the household, says the household of God is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. As you look at Matthew 21 in verse 9, this is what the crowds were cheering as Jesus was coming in on the donkey. The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna actually means save us. That's what it says in 118. It says, Lord, save us, grant us success. Here they were praying for their salvation. It's interesting, even though they've said it earlier on, they're reiterating it. They're reiterating, we need to be saved. One of the things that sometimes we've expressed around Jesus as our Savior is that we're just saved and that's it. But there's something that these people understood that I think we have to understand, is that salvation isn't just a one-time occurrence. It's ongoing. I need salvation every day from something in my journey. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's interesting, the name of the Lord actually means to them, to the Israelites, is their identity is tied together with the Lord's identity. Calling on the name of the Lord requires allegiance and commitment and faith. So those words weren't just lightly thrown out there. They were expressing that idea, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that they saw that their identity and the identity of Jesus was tied to God's identity. And you see things that come up again of the Lord is God and he has made his light on us, light shine on us. But as you look into the next part, into 28 and 29, how it finishes, it says, you are my God and I will give thanks to you. You are my God and I will exalt you. To be able to say you are my God is a powerful affirmation. Knowing that you belong to a God means that you can walk confidently every day in all the ups and downs. But I think the question we often ask, and we've talked about this as a community, we often are asking, who am I in light of this? Here, it seems to be that the question should be, whose am I? God told the Israelites, and he speaks this to us, is that I am your God. You're my people. So the question is, how do you respond? In James May's book, The Lord Reigns, he says these words. David is the king whose throne was an everlasting future based on the promise of God. The songs or the psalms he sponsored and spoke are to be read in the context of that promise. They are messianic, so that's the prediction. The prophecy of the Messiah coming. They're messianic, not because all of them are about the anointing of Israel, but rather in the sense they are language to be spoken in the knowledge that God has chosen a Messiah and surely keeps God's promises. It's a different perspective. It's not just about the anointed of Israel, but it's also about the promises that God's keeping through Christ. As I finish today, I want to ask you to ask questions of yourself. As a disciple, we too are waiting for the coming of the Messiah, the second coming. But do we have that heart like they did? Do we have hope for God's presence and deliverance in the midst of crisis? Do we cry out to be saved daily? Do we walk out our victory in Jesus? Do we know whose we are? And do we worship in thanksgiving of what God has done? The psalm concludes the same way it started, and it seems like it should just repeat. But it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His love never quits. Declare that. Read through this again. Sing it out, even if it's in your tune. But may you be blessed by a God who's present, whose love never quits. Be blessed.